Pastor Greg Glover from Spokane, Washington, to come and preach. Praise God. We've been coaching him for a while now and saying, okay, there's a picnic coming. There's going to be visitors. You're going to preach just a short time, Praise God. All right to let him preach a little bit today? Praise God. Praise God. All right, Pastor Greg, come and preach. God bless you.
Why don't we clap our hands to the Lord and lift up our voice? The people of the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Why don't you turn in your Bible to the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, as a starting point. Love Sterling, love being home, love being back in Alaska. They don't have whales washed up on the beach in Spokane. Appreciate the anointing of God that is here upon this body, upon this people. And what I believe is a deeper level of it, a pull to step into the reality of who you are, who we are in God, who we are literally in God is so powerful. That is what changes the world. So the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse number 5. Well, verse 4 says, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, quoting Psalm 40, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Verse 10 says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. Verse 12, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. And the Holy Ghost is a witness to us, verse 15. And what the Holy Ghost is witnessing to us is that, verse 19, that we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. You can be seated. You and I are only responsible for what we have got a revelation of. We do not have any responsibility to anything that's not been revealed to us by God. If eyes not seen it, if ears not heard it, if we have not had it by the Holy Ghost put into our spirits, it's not on us if we're doing nothing with it. And so whatever aspects that are missing in our world, if they've not been revealed to us, then it's all right for us to not live in that aspect of God's divine nature. It's not our fault if he's not fully made himself known to us. I think one of the most powerful names that you'll ever have of God is I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. That's his name. He said it's my memorial name forever. One day there's a bush that just starts burning. Moses thinks it's pretty neat. I'm going to turn aside. I'm going to get around this bush. And when he gets closer to that bush, a voice comes out. Moses, Moses. He says, here I am. Take your shoes off, Moses. The place you're standing is holy ground. The ground's actually been made holy. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And when he said that, Moses hid his face because he did not want to look on God. Wasn't the fire, wasn't the miraculous in that bush that was burning and not being consumed? It wasn't the voice out of the bush that said, Moses, Moses. It wasn't even take your shoes off. The revelation of God, the name, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, had so much weight to it that it caused a reaction in Moses that the supernatural could not cause. He hid his face, and the Lord said, Moses, I need you to go. I need you to go tell my people, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto you. He just revealed himself as that to Moses. Now, there's never ever been a person on planet Earth that had that aspect of God revealed to them fully all at once. Abraham lived it alone, so did Isaac, so did Jacob individually. But here's a man from zero to hero. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Boom! Revelation. He said, and I need you to go tell my people that I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I've appeared unto you. It's time to get out of Egypt. This is my memorial name forever. And then all of a sudden Moses starts saying, I'm having trouble talking. I'm having trouble talking. We know he could talk. He was already talking. He didn't have trouble talking at all. But there's something about the weight of God's divine nature. My tongue is heavy. That's the word for glory. That's why you're having trouble talking, Moses. You got some weight in your mouth right now. Yeah, I felt the Holy Ghost right there. You're speaking a revelation of who he is. And when you're speaking the revelation of who he is, you're not just speaking. It's not you're an orator declaring God's good news. There is a weight that comes with that revelation. And it's heavy. My tongue's heavy. You need to send somebody else. Why is your tongue heavy, Moses? It's because there's an authority weighing on you right now, and there's a literal anointing, not from the fire, not from Moses, he said my name, but from the fact that there's been a revelation of God himself, the God who the scripture tells us of these three individuals, that he has taken those people and he has attached himself. I'm not ashamed to be called their God. I'm not ashamed to be surnamed by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Their name is now my name. That's why Abraham, Isaac, Jacob isn't found again in the scripture. Nobody's got those three names because God said those are mine. But I'm not just going to take them. I'm going to go ahead and add some authority to them. And if you want to talk about what anointing feels like, it feels like one word, Christ. Christ. The anointed. Christ. The anointed. And the first people to ever experience that, both Psalm 105 and 1 Chronicles 16 celebrate the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And when the Lord is speaking about them in the dedication of David's tabernacle and in the Psalms, both times he says, I want you to know something about these three individuals. I didn't give them any kind of a place. And so as they journeyed around, I rebuked kings on their behalf. And here's what I said to those kings, touch not mine anointed. That's the word for Christ in the Old Testament. Touch not mine anointed. Because when the name of God and an individual are merged together, that's exactly what it is like to be in the name of Christ. That's what it feels like to be. That's why you don't got to pray for the anointing to show up in a church, because you are the anointed. Every one of you that's been baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. That's what's on you, the anointing. You are his anointing. He said, do my prophets no harm. I rebuke kings on their behalf. He said, and that was just a piece of me. That was so much that Abraham couldn't even talk. He's stuttering because his tongue's all heavy. And he said, I appeared unto those three as God Almighty. That's why they're bad like that. That's why they got a reputation like that. That's why I'm showing up into Egypt right now, making my word come true, is because I appeared to them and they received me as I appeared to them. And they walked in God Almighty. And when they received the appearing, Genesis 17, God Almighty said, no, your name's not Abram, your name is Abraham. No, your wife's name's not Sarai, it's Sarah. When God Almighty showed up to Jacob, he said, let me remind you something. That wrestling match you had with an angel wasn't in vain. You're not Jacob, you're Israel. Done deal. And that's the power and that's the authority that this man Jacob operated in. God Almighty. He can't even see, let alone stand up. And his son in Egypt is coming to him so he can bless his boys before he dies. He's sick. He's sick. He's going blind. We've seen that before. It doesn't end that well. But look at this guy. I'm not living in a revelation of flesh. I'm living in the revelation that God Almighty changed me into. So Jacob heard that Joseph's coming and Israel strengthens himself. Yep, sick, going blind, and Joseph shows up and he says, I want to tell you something, son. God Almighty appeared to me in Luz and told me that he was going to bless me and he's going to multiply me. And he goes, now Ephraim, Manasseh, they're mine. I don't think Joseph understood what was going on, but he just took Joseph's kids from him. And he said, as Reuben and as Simeon, Those boys are mine. If you have more kids, they can be yours. But I just took yours. And then he said, you know what? I didn't even think I was going to see your face. But God showed me your seed. That's why I took them. I transferred them by speaking a word. And now Ephraim's my firstborn. And now Manasseh is my secondborn. And God showed him, hey, do this for my purpose. And even though he can't see in the natural, and he's sick. He's not operating by feeling, and he's not operating by the power of the gifts of the Spirit. He's under the anointing of the name of God Almighty. There is nothing that is more powerful than living up to the revelation that God has appeared to you as and has put on you. I want you to know there's something so glorious about the power of that anointing that the scripture would say that, hey, that was a piece of me, God Almighty. I didn't even appear to them as Jehovah. I think one of the things that's interesting to me is that the Jewish people, that they're so dedicated and so celebrated, they were somehow or another tricked into, by fear, not speaking his name. Called it reverence, and wouldn't spell his name, wouldn't speak his name. And I want you to know that that's the thing that was literally attacked, I guess you could say, in the Jewish culture, was that right there. It's the people for his name's sake who don't speak his name. Oh yeah, we got the word. And we quote stuff about the word, but we don't say his name. That tell me there's something demonic there. That the first thing you're going to isolate when it comes to God's people is, hey, don't say his name. You don't want to take it in vain. You don't want to take it in vain. And so we'll call that reverence, and we'll call that humility. And God will say, hey, no, I call that idolatry. Because I'm hearing everyone else's name, but not my name. My people, who I've got a covenant with, are going after all these other names. Then you won't say my name. I wonder why that is. I wonder why it is that when God is manifest in flesh, they don't recognize him. You quit saying the name, you lose the revelation. You lose what it means. You lose the fact that there was a mountain that caught on fire, and there was a God that came down on that mountain and said, you are a royal priesthood. I brought you out of Egypt on eagle's wings. I took you as my inheritance. So, Moses couldn't even speak that name. It's so heavy. And you're telling me that now you're going to reveal Jehovah? They didn't even know me by that name. Bits and pieces of Jehovah, but not me in the fullness. Not me in the fullness. And for there to be an experience where we are literally what we call the body of Christ. Hebrews chapter number 10 tells us you didn't want sacrifice, you didn't want offering, but a body. Well, that's not right, is it? Not if you're quoting Psalm 40, because Psalm 40 said, you dug out ears for me. But here it is a body you prepared for me. So first off, it's you dug ears out for me. And now it's a body you prepared for me. It never starts with just the body. It starts with the ears. And it's got to be a dugout experience where literally the scripture said the ears are dug out. So when you're talking about whose ears are being dug out and who it is, it's saying a body you prepared for me. It didn't start with the body, did it? It started with the head. It started with the head and it ends up with the body. He said, ears you dug out for me. And in the fulfillment of the New Testament, it was a body you prepared for me. How many understand that when you talk about the experience of being baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, you're talking about going from the man who died to the one who has endless, indestructible life? You're talking about going from somebody born of a woman to the first begotten from the dead. The first begotten from the dead. That's who Jesus Christ is. Jesus was born of a woman called the Christ. The Messiah. The Messiah. But it's not a literal name until after the resurrection. It was a title of what he came to do. That he turned into a name. By becoming Messiah and taking on that name, not a title, that name as the future revelation of who he is on planet Earth. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. We've been baptized into that body. But the problem is, according to Hebrews, our hearing is getting fleshly. He says, I want to tell you some stuff about Melchizedek. But he said, it's hard for me to explain it to you because you become dull of hearing. And the amazing thing about that word is it's used again in Hebrews chapter 6. And he's talking about them being sluggish in their faith. And if you're dull in your hearing, you'll be dull in your faith. If you're not dull in your hearing, if you are experiencing what he gave us. What he gave us, ears to hear. Ears to hear. Not your ears, his ears. He knows exactly who he was. It's not our faith. It's his faith. It's not our understanding or mind. It's his mind. It's not our carnal anything at all. It's everything him that's been handed to us. But we've got an ability. Got an ability to be baptized into the literal body of Jesus Christ and then go back to hearing with our own ears. And Moses, who's getting a revelation that's in process, can't even talk. And when the name of Jehovah is revealed to Egypt, it's not a good day. How many of you know that Pharaoh could not let them go? He couldn't let them go if he wanted to let them go because Jehovah was showing off. And step by step and plague by plague, here's another piece of what Jehovah looks like. Boom. Here's another piece of what Jehovah looks like. Boom. And you're going to experience the fullness of that revelation in the water. That's where they saw Jehovah in his fullness, the Song of Moses. They started to recognize the right hand of God isn't a literal hand, it's a revelation. They started to recognize the power of that sea being parted. And we walked through and everybody that followed us from our old world was destroyed forever. And the Lord said, you can never go back. Pretty amazing experience. And most of us have had that experience with God where we were baptized out of Egypt. Under the moniker for the remission of our sins. Stop, period. And the Lord said, I was mad at that generation. They did not enter into my rest. You see, it's more than what I was baptized out of. Thank God he washed my sins away. Thank God that I've been literally regenerated. That's what baptism into the name of Jesus Christ does. It puts you into the bloodline of one first begotten from death. Which means there's no trail. Adam died. Jesus Christ is the first begotten on the other side of killing off everything that had destroyed God's image. The first begotten from the dead. Not from the womb, from the dead. That was the moment that death turned into life. You can't get more dominion than that right there. That's why that Bible lesson that we had today, Paul's like, I'm trying to choose. I'm in straight betwixt. Do I want to live or die? But Paul says, I'm choosing. That's what dominion is. And he says, I would love to go, but it'd be better for you. And I got some stuff for you, so I think I'll stay just for your sake. But he said, it's my choice. Death does not decide. And if death no longer has any kind of power over us, what in the world does the devil have over us? If death has no power, then there is no fear of death. And that's... Praise God. Amen. And so baptism into the name of Jesus Christ is not baptism into the name of the one who walked through walls. It's not baptized into the one that took 40 days before he went up into heaven. But that is one movement. The resurrection is the same as exaltation. You are buried with him by baptism. And that is a movement, the only possible way that an individual gets into the body of Christ. The gospel is, Paul said, according to 1 Corinthians 15, that according to the scriptures, he died. And then he says, and according to the scriptures, he was buried and rose again. Not two different things. It's one movement. According to the scriptures, he died. According to the scriptures, he was buried and rose again. It's not buried according to the scriptures and rose again according to the scriptures. It's we are baptized into his death. We're not buried into his burial. We're buried into his death, burial, ascension, exaltation. The name of Jesus Christ, when you're baptized into it, is sitting on a throne, waiting until his enemies become his footstool. The last enemy that's going to be completely destroyed, death. We're afraid of the wrong stuff. What in the world kind of power does the devil have over sons of God? None. He has none. And so whenever you are baptized into the body of Christ, far above, the scripture said, all power, it's above rulers, authorities, powers, that's immediate. We're with him because we're literally in him. From death to the burial to all of a sudden now he's on the throne of David. Ruler, dominion, kingdom. And immediately Those apostles are fearless when the revelation of who he is clicks. And what he tells them is, hey, did you not read where Moses, where the Psalms, where the prophets said that I must suffer so I could be glorified? The angels say, are you here? Are you really here at the tomb? Why are you seeking for the living among the dead? The Jesus you're looking for will never exist again. He's dead. He'll never be just Jesus again. He's now the anointed Jesus. There's no such thing as a baptism into the name of Jesus. It is baptism into the name of Jesus Christ, or just stay under the water. Because Jesus died but didn't rise again. Jesus Christ came up on the other side. The revelation of the kingdom. Which means the anointed one. And the body of Christ, by one Spirit, we're baptized into one body. It's not when you receive the Holy Ghost. It is that movement that we experience. That's the coming up out of the water part. 40 days after that, here comes the Holy Ghost. What's the Holy Ghost for? To tell you about me. Not to tell you about you. But to tell you about all my stuff. To show you and to reveal to you how awesome I am. And let you know that in the volume of the book, it is written of me. That's why he said, what in the world? You're not expecting resurrection? The angels say, you want to know how he was resurrected? Just like he said. Just like he said. Just like he said. It wasn't, I needed the Holy Spirit. No. I went in there with a word. Many words. That said I would suffer and enter into my glory. I also said, you destroy this temple, 3 days is coming back up. You think I was talking smack? That's the Word made flesh saying that. The Word that created the world, people. Do you understand that? That when you got the name of Jesus Christ, the new creator is the old creator? Man, I sure wish this old creation would sure help us have a revival. I don't feel nothing. I don't feel anything. You're in the wrong creation. You want to know what the truth is? The Holy Ghost is meant and only meant to reveal Jesus Christ. And it is the gift of the Holy Ghost. Gift of the Holy Ghost. Whereas you're baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost is not where you get power or authority or dominion. It's the fact that you are Him. It's the fact that there is no fight unless I lower myself. Because in one moment, I was baptized into complete success. The only thing lagging behind is this body, and one day it's going to be glorified. But this flesh is dead. My old thoughts, dead. He said, reckon all of it dead. Dead people don't talk. Dead people don't get hurt feelings. Dead people aren't tied to the past. It's all broken off. If you're dead, you're dead. But we now are alive unto Christ. Not to live according to the flesh, but to live according to Israel. If he said, Jacob, you're Israel, you got a choice. You can live like Jacob, or you can live like Israel. One of them, you're depressed for 21 years. And you need a revival so that Israel can wake up. Jacob mourns for 21 years, is faithless for 21 years, living in fear, but Israel? God shows up for Israel. Which revelation do I want to live in? One of them, I can wrestle and I can fight and I can war and I can say to the Lord when he asks me who I am, I can say, I'm Jacob. And he can say, no, you're Israel. And I can say, you know what? I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. Because I don't believe a revelation of who I am is a blessing. And so then I limp away from there and I'm scared of my brother, Esau. And I've got daughter issues in Shechem. And I'm living in fear of walking away from there. And then God's got to call me back to a place where I met him the first time. And then show up as God Almighty and say, you're Israel. And go. And just walks away. Because we don't see a revelation as an upgrade. What's the blessing? It's we got to have a move of the Holy Ghost. So just move. Just go like this. If you want a move of God, just like lift your hand up. You want to change the atmosphere? The Lord said, hey, every single time anybody preaches the gospel, every single time, you want to talk about memorials, he said, every single time somebody preaches the gospel, there's going to be a story told about a woman who anointed me for my burial. And it filled the room. And all you had to do was let that anointing for burial, which is I'm making you Christ before you're Christ. I'm anointing the anointed one. And all you got to do is do that and you'll expose Judas. You just get the anointing atmosphere. And Judas can't help himself. He'll expose right there. And the scripture said that anointing filled the room. And what was it? Anointing for burial. Like that's prophetic. You're making me that before I am that as an identity. You know Christ means the anointed. So the anointing filled that room. And Jesus said every time the gospel's preached, which is the death, burial, and resurrection, this woman will be remembered because that's who I'm becoming. I'm becoming that in 3 days. And then everyone baptized into Jesus Christ is that too. Which means the anointing that we want to fill the atmosphere is you. You're just losing your hearing. And the word for sluggish, Bishop, the word for sluggish there in Hebrews chapter 5 and chapter 6, the root of it is bastard. And that is always why we start hearing slower. We start feeling like I'm not what God says I am. I'm not. So what we need is the next greatest prophet, gifts of the Spirit to operate, whatever. And you know what that operates for? One thing. The body of Christ. And if we're not the body of Christ, which is what we're baptized into, the gifts of the Spirit are out of order. It's only for the body. It edifies the body. And Paul said, you should be fivefold level teachers right now. But you're in need of somebody teaching you again the elementary principles of Christ. Because that's what we're teaching. And that's repentance from dead works, faith toward God, and then the only teaching involved is on immersions. The doctrine of immersions, not the experience of it, the doctrine. That's how you build a foundation of Christ. Here's what happened to you. It's not an argument over a name. It's not Jesus only. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus died for our sins. That was the good news. So we don't want to say, hey, I was baptized into the name of Jesus. Because then you're just dead. Awesome. But Christ, that's the third day. That was the guarantee. Why? His word said so. He wasn't in trouble. That's why you don't even know who it was that raised him, right? Did he raise himself? Was it this one? Was it that one? Was it this thing? Was it that thing? You don't got to get into all that. The Word said it. It wasn't anything special. It was the Word is true. And he can hear it. Ears are dug out. What's the next thing? A body. And so what's going to happen on the cross is the final veil is ripped. Remember when he was baptized by John the Baptist? The heavens ripped. Problem is we're stuck. That's the problem. Not heaven stuck, we're stuck. But whenever Jesus was crucified, his flesh, the veil, was ripped. And now, through Jesus Christ, we have access to the Holy of Holies up in heaven. Through the veil, which is what? His flesh, his body, the only thing that can get you into the Holy of Holies is baptism into the name of Jesus Christ. And that experience, once it's revealed, once it's appreciated, changes the world. That's why I believe that there's such power in Pentecostal preaching, not because of the Spirit, but because we're all Christ, which is anointed. What's the blotting out of transgressions? It's anointed. It's smeared. It's the word for anointing. He took out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us and nailed it to his cross. You know how he blotted that out? He anointed it. It's all that. The Christ became Christ. That's like Abraham's awesome. I'm going to take that name. I am that. And so every single apostolic, the Holy Ghost reveals this book to us. And it shows us everywhere you look is our story. And so if you want to get a revelation of the name you are baptized into, you can't start with "in the beginning God created." You've got to start "in the beginning was the Word." Yeah. Before there was any creation. And the scripture said, we were where? We were in Him from the foundation of the world. So if you want a revelation of the depth of God's nature that you are in right now, you want to know who you are. You want to know why you're living below what you could be. It's not because you need to pray more or fast more or anything more right this second. You need a revelation of what you already are. And if you could get a revelation of the power of the death, burial, and resurrection. What did Paul say? If there's no resurrection, then you're still in your sins. Because the blood being shed on Calvary did not do it enough. It wasn't the shedding of blood that took away our sins. Because if there's no resurrection, you're still in your sins. The blood wasn't enough. Was it? If you don't got the body alive, you're still in your sins with the blood. Is it more powerful for you to plead the blood or live in the body? What's it mean when we were regenerated? Who shall declare His generation? He was cut off from the earth. Sir, is this prophet talking about himself or some other person? And Philip begins at the same scripture and preaches to him Jesus. What happens next? The man says, all right, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Because that is where Isaiah 53 is going to lead you to. It's going to start with Jesus and it's going to end with His generation, which is Jesus Christ. That's why I could get up anywhere, anytime without praying and preach and be anointed. Not because I got a gift. I'm in the body of Christ. That's why you don't need to feel anything when somebody's sickness is made known to you. I was put on this planet to look for trouble. That's out of order. There's no sickness in my daddy's kingdom. There is no sickness in the body of Christ. And you say, that's out of order. And I've been put here on the planet to make it right. What did Paul say? Paul said, I was so mad at His name. He said, I thought to do many things against His name. That name. I went to go persecute Him. Got knocked off His donkey. Who are you? I'm Jesus Christ. I'm of Nazareth, whom you're persecuting. Was He persecuting a people or was He persecuting a name? Paul said, I wanted to do much damage to that name. And that name included a bunch of apostolics who were not afraid of me. They were still having church and they were still changing the world. And all that happened was that dominion got a hold of me. And when that man got a revelation of Jesus Christ, he immediately went to preach, immediately. At Damascus. And what did Damascus say, Sister Blackshear? They said, isn't this the guy that came here to kill the church? How long does it take you to be new? How long does it take you to get under new authority? Paul goes to preach immediately. I know I came to kill you guys, but I love you now. And we're guilty over such little things. And we're guilty for life. Because we believe more in the old creation. Because where's the move of the Spirit? Where's the move of the Spirit? The move of the Spirit is only meant to reveal the Word. Let there be light. And there's a massive horizon for the church that was set by Jesus, who was declared the Son of God by the Spirit of Holiness. Romans 1:4, when he was resurrected from the dead. He set the horizon for what Jesus Christ could be. And that horizon is not what you feel or not what you've been told. Baptism into the name of Jesus Christ is much greater than what you believe. It's not for the remission of sins only. It's you, my friend, are not 2.0, 3.5. Brand new man. Never been on the planet before. Gentile, Jew, making one new man. It's not that I'm better than I was. I was, I'm dead. I'm him. That's the New Testament. But we're like, I don't know. I don't feel that good right now. And Jacob's like, I can't even stink and see. I'm sick. And I'm going to turn into Israel and I'm going to take your kids. I'm going to come into Egypt. I'm going to double time bless Pharaoh. And right after I'm done blessing Pharaoh, he gets all of Egypt. That's what happens right after he blesses Pharaoh. All of Egypt becomes his possession. 20% of everything is his. Where did that come from? Israel blessed him. Yeah, we had to carry that in there. He didn't look like much. But he could turn a nation over to one person. Yeah, we don't look like much. But we don't need it either. We don't need it. That's the next greatest thing that's going to hit planet Earth. It's not a lesson on the gifts of the Spirit. It's who cares who we are as individuals. It's Jesus Christ. It's every one of you is awesome. That's the teaching. Everyone in the body's anointed. We're all hid in Him. And it's only in Him that we get knowledge and wisdom, because that's hid too. So unless you're looking in Him, you don't know who you are. Man, I need to read a book, and I need to do this, and I need to whatever, and I need to whatever, and I would need, and most of it turns back into, I need to go crucify myself. Why did you ever come back to life is what Paul's teaching. And the quickest correction, put off the old man. Put on the new man. You're living the wrong identity. That's why it's baptism in the name of Jesus Christ or hell. Because there's one body. And you're not Holy Ghost into him. You're baptized into Christ. And you put on Christ. 40 days later, here comes the Holy Ghost. But they're already standing up and going, we need to create another apostle out of thin air. The only requirement is they had to have been there when Jesus was baptized. Because they are going to be a witness of his resurrection. And it's the baptism of Jesus that is the witness of the death, burial, and resurrection. You're not a witness of his resurrection by da 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 da. He said, we need to find somebody who was there when he was baptized. And the heavens ripped open. And the Holy Ghost came. Out of heaven. All of that stuff, somebody got baptized. So if there's somebody here who's been around since we saw Jesus get baptized, okay, we have two people. God, which one won? All right, Matthias, you're an apostle. And in 1 second, he goes from being a part of the group, listen to me, to having his name on the foundation in Jerusalem. How fast? That fast. Did they have the Holy Ghost? No. They had authority. The Holy Ghost is awesome. But it cannot hang with nature. It can't. That's why he always reveals himself as a name. What's his final name? The Word of the Lord. The Word of the Lord. So everything you need to know about Jesus Christ, the Word's teaching it. So why can we expect results? Boom. Because you are a liar and this is true. That's our new orientation and paradigm. What you think isn't right. This is true. We can turn the world upside down with 39 books. That's all. No New Testament, just the Old. And that's enough to turn the world upside down. Because you're 45 or 46 AD before you get the book of James. And then here comes Galatians. And then here comes Corinthians. Here comes Romans. And it's like it almost towards the middle is Matthew. Because Matthew's not disagreeing with anybody who's been preaching Jesus Christ. Yeah, Matthew stepped up there after saying nothing for the history of the apostolic movement and decided to say, hey, Paul didn't know anything about baptism. Either does any of the other people. Either does James, the pastor at Jerusalem. Here's how you're baptized. There's no change. He's saying the same thing. We're baptized into a person. The name isn't a name. The name's a person. And it's in heaven. And its feet are on the earth. Enthroned. The name. What dominion that is. What power that is. And John, the lover of Jesus, and I'm done. John, the lover of Jesus, he's at Ephesus, who without a doubt, they're falling away from their first love, baptism into the name of Jesus Christ. How else do you get removed completely from the candlestick? You're no longer a church if you're no longer Jesus' name, Jesus Christ baptism. And he's writing 1 John to Ephesus, or from Ephesus. Then here comes the Gospel of John. I want you to see 7 I am signs that will reveal to you the name Jesus Christ. And if you could believe in that name, you'll have life. That's the whole purpose of my book. That's what he says. And then here comes the final book, Revelation of Jesus Christ. And he says, I saw some freak. His eyes were like on fire. You see, our God's a European, right? What? I love everybody. God loves him. He said, I saw this guy. His eyes were on fire. This is the guy whose head was on Jesus's chest. And he says, I have no clue who this is. His hair's white. His eyes are like on fire. His feet like they've been through a furnace. All this stuff's crazy. And he says, that's a revelation of the resurrected Jesus. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Immediately he falls down at his feet, is dead. He said, hey, I'm he that liveth and I was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore and I've got the keys or authority of death, hell, which is not the devil's domain, and the grave. You guys know the devil's never ever been in charge of anything called hell. Hell's created for the devil. But hell is not his kingdom. Had nothing at all to do with the devil. This wasn't a fight with the devil. This was God versus God. You understand that? We broke God's word. And so God took his wrath out on God. That's why it's good news. God took it out on God. It's not, I got to get it back from the devil. The devil? A created angel? Yeah. No. In order for God to actually die, he's got to literally be knocked down a little lower than the angels. So he can't just disappear for a day, which is called Sabbath. The one whole day that he's buried is Sabbath. Where the only ones who aren't resting are his enemies. That's what the burial puts us in. Rest. Anyway, that's all I'm going to preach for this whole entire revival, because you don't need more spirit. Don't. Whenever the pastor says, I lose you to be a witness. Go forth. It's a done deal right there. You don't need anything else but to live up to who you already are. That's it. Who you already are. No gifts of the Spirit necessary first. Well, teach me how to pray somebody through again. Again, how many times is that? I'm starting to meddle a little bit now, but how many people have come through here and said, here's how you pray somebody through the Holy Ghost? Step one, you don't want bad breath. Okay, folks. Step two, you make good eye contact. Step three, be apostolic. Believe it's a gift. Boom. figure I don't need a lesson on it. Not when you're Jesus Christ. Stand with me. Not when you're the body. It's something, man, that's just something God just been awakening something inside of me where I'm just, I want to see it. I want more revelation of Him. I want to be able to hear my way into His body. Because I want to be like those that get the promises. And with patience, they experience. He said, we do not want you to be slothful. Which doesn't mean lazy. It means you just don't believe it's for you. That's it. He said, you should be a piece of the full measure of Jesus Christ, teachers. The fivefold ministry. Teachers, that's 1/5 of His full measure. He said, you guys should already be teachers, but you're not hearing. That's it. You're not hearing right. And guess what our word did for us? Our word pierced through the heavens. Our word's alive. The word made flesh. The word whose life has been manifested and we've handled and we've touched. Pierced through the heavens. It's able to divide between who you aren't anymore and who you are in the spirit. Soul, spirit. Soul, the old man, spirit in Jesus Christ. It's able to do that. It's also able to, the joints, the marrow. What body are you connected to? He said, His body. There's a supply flowing through the joints. And you're baptized into that body. But if you're living in your flesh, the Word cuts that out. The Word, it's a discerner. Whose head is your head? Whose thoughts are you thinking? Are you thinking thoughts that He would never think about you? Guaranteed. Why? Because we got flesh that lies to us. And every once in a while, you need to, like every 5 minutes, look at your flesh and just say, you're a liar, you're dead, shut up. I don't need to feel anything. I don't got to feel motivated if I got a word. I'm coming up on the third day because the Word said so. I don't need my people to believe it. I don't need an audience to show up there. And if only women show up there, that'll be my first preachers. I'm not waiting on my heroes. He said, you're dull of hearing. And then He opens eyes and they can understand. And all of a sudden they can see Him everywhere. David, Psalm 16. David, Psalm 110. There, Simon Peter all of a sudden is the greatest preacher on the planet. Because his eyes have been opened. To see Him everywhere. He won't leave my soul in hell. He was not speaking about Himself. He was speaking about Jesus Christ. Who's now enthroned. And has received the promise. Which has been shed forth. Which you now see and hear. Which is a gift. Receive it. You want a command that's heaven or hell? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't jump to the Holy Ghost. That's a gift. What shall we do? You be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. Is that a name? It's a person. It's a person. It's a person. Is that works? Jesus Christ died, and Joseph begged his body. One person. He's rich. He's fulfilling Isaiah 53 and 9. He takes him off the cross, washes him up, covers him up, puts him in the tomb, his own tomb that's freshly hewed out. Is that works? Baptism doth now save us. No, we're saved by faith. No, you're saved by baptism. Because that's not works. Unless you call taking a shower works. There's nothing about works in baptism. You put on a robe, maybe. You walk up here. And then Pastor Glover does the rest. That's not works. The body of Jesus is dead. Joseph does everything. And then he rises again. It's not works. It's an absolute must. But it's not works. There's nothing works about it unless you actually did die and suffer and all that, which we didn't. So that, no, baptism does indeed save us. Simon Peter meant it when he said it, because he preached it. Simon Peter didn't all of a sudden get stupid. I forgot what to say. I don't even know. The Holy Ghost is just moving me to write this stuff. The same person who said, holy men spake, as they're moved by the Holy Ghost, were like, except for that, 1 Peter 3:21. What he meant was, if you could swim good, you could have lived. You didn't have to get into the ark, which is the body of Jesus Christ. And you're saved through water. Baptism also doth now save us. Well, he didn't mean that, obviously, because you're saved by faith. Which is faith. That's faith. No, that's works. No, it's faith. No, it just, you got the word in your mouth. Yeah. Yeah. You've also heard it. And you've responded to it. And you're in the church. That's why he's writing to you. Faith comes by hearing the words about Jesus Christ. You confess with your mouth the name of the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. How do we do that? Get baptized, what Simon Peter said, into the name of Jesus Christ. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? We haven't even heard that there be any Holy Ghost. Isn't that a deity problem? Unto what then were you baptized? John's baptism. Didn't you hear him preach? He said, you're supposed to believe on him who's coming after. That's on Jesus Christ. When they heard that, they weren't too arrogant to say, well, because they didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. Why wouldn't you want it all? That's my thing. Why would you not want all? Jesus So I'm thinking, man alive, if this is the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in current times, present tense, bodily, and all those patriarchs had was God Almighty, and we've got the fullness. I should be talking to kings. I should be blessing presidents. We should be in charge of the famine. Interpreting dreams. one revelation. We've got the fullness, church. We are His seed. Into the name of Jesus Christ, Christ the seed. That's who you are, friend. Every one of us. It's powerful when you think about, hey, this is Memorial Day. Think about the name of Jesus Christ. With a face, with a body that looks just like you. Looks just like Greg. Looks just like him. Everyone that's been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, raise your hand. That's who the body looks like. Look around. You want to see somebody anointed? You're looking at him right here. The fullness of the Godhead dwells inside the body of Christ now. That's why you can do stuff that's crazy when you believe. Here comes the glory of God. Close your eyes, would you? With the weight of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Descend upon this group.
Show you my power. I reveal my strength. I place it within you. You walk in my name.
My goodness, Jesus.
I show you my strength. I live in you. You hear my word. You walk in my word. I will show you even greater. You stay close to me. You seek after me. You desire me. And I will show you even greater.
If you believe that and you want that, I want you to come up to the front and just raise up those hands and just start saying, Lord, I want that. I want your strength fully. I want more. I want to be closer to you. I want the weight of your glory on me. I want it to be hard for me to talk because there's such glory. I want your name to be glorified. I want the revelation of Jesus Christ to fill this earth like the waters cover the seas. Let there be waves of baptism into the name of Jesus Christ. Cover this earth, I pray, mighty God, with your glory, with your nature, with who you are, God, I pray. Saturate this church, God, with deity, with revelation. Oh, Manienda la maratea.